The officer hesitated, snuck another look at his manifest. A new alarm began to sound behind him, indicating that departure was imminent. He had half a dozen other shuttles to check, and he was already running behind. There would doubtless be an evaluation at the end of the emergency period, and... Lowering his head, he jerked the stylus he was holding toward the open shuttle portal. As you were.
As you were.
McCoy started lugging his friend up the ramp.
Been eating more than usual lately, cadet?
Kirk's cheeks bulged. I'd appreciate it, Bones, if you didn't mention food for a while.
Don't worry. Any inclination to general nausea is muted by the inflammation of your...
He lowered his voice to a whisper as he continued. Kirk's eyes widened.
Inflammation of my what?
Shut up,
McCoy hissed as they neared the top of the ramp.
And keep walking. Try to help me, Jim. Make your legs work.
Head lolling, Kirk goggled up at him.
I have legs?
As soon as they were on board, they had no difficulty finding seats despite the lateness of their arrival. One look in Kirk's direction and everyone gave them plenty of room. A final alarm sounded as the shuttle lifted off and the pilot guided it out of the hangar. Once they were outside and climbing, clean sunlight flooded the interior through the self-polarizing ports. A mumbling Kirk leaned toward his friend.
One more thing, Bones.
What's that?
McCoy was pressed back into his launch seat, the usual sweat beginning to bead up on his neck and forehead. Kirk somehow managed to smile.
I may throw up on you.
Accelerating steadily, the compact craft climbed through the atmosphere. Dark blue sky gave way to violet and then to black. Below, the curve of the Earth stood out like a piece of engraved turquoise in an onyx setting. Advanced shuttles preceded Kirk and McCoy's, while others trailed behind. The distances between them were sufficient to make those on board feel as if they were utterly alone in the universe. Until Starbase 1 came into view. A city in space. The base thrust out enormous transverse arms that terminated in dock and repair facilities for starships. Unusually, every one of them was presently occupied. Resembling irregular snowflakes drifting in an absence of gravity, a storm of servicing craft were swarming around the neatly docked ships, readying them for departure. Despite similar schematics, each vessel featured its own unique, individual design characteristics. All were beautiful, and each had something to recommend it. None of which mattered to an enraptured Kirk as he gazed out the nearest port. He only had eyes for one of them. Its markings stood out clear and sharp against the ivory-hued metal and composite skin. USS Enterprise, NCC-1701. He remembered the first time he had set eyes on her. Unfinished, skeletal, with gaping holes in her sides where her multiple outer hull had yet to be completed. She had been striking then, awkwardly balanced within a web of construction scaffolding on the hard, cold plain of central Iowa. Incomplete and out of her element, she had appeared ungainly and graceless, an adolescent starship. Finished and sitting in her service dock, she was a thing of beauty. He could not wait to embrace her, hopefully by not heaving his guts all over one of her nice, new, spotlessly clean decks. Describing a smooth arc toward its destination, the shuttle curved into the plane of the base and slowed as it neared the great ship's stern. Greeted by an open, waiting port, the shuttle pilot brought his craft to a smooth touchdown inside the ship's docking bay. Airlock doors closed behind it as he cut impulse power to the shuttle's drive. The taxi craft rocked slightly as a gush of atmosphere pressurized the bay. As soon as the all-clear sounded, the passengers disembarked. Kirk and McCoy were the last to leave. Fortunately for the struggling doctor, his patient was rapidly regaining his strength.
Bones, Kirk muttered weakly. Thanks for getting me on board. But I don't feel right. I feel like I'm leaking.
McCoy still had alertness and energy enough to see Spock heading in their direction.
Oh, look, the pointy-eared bastard.
Engrossed in the readout he was holding, the commander did not look up at them. By the time the Vulcan's gaze lifted, McCoy had managed to wrestle Kirk into a side corridor. A lift deposited the preoccupied commander onto the gleaming new bridge. Unmarred and as yet unused, it sparkled from the proud exertions of the final commissioning crew. No console had been left unpolished, no monitor left uncleaned. In a respectful nod to history, a small plaque featuring an engraving of an ancient aircraft carrier had been affixed to one wall. immensely meaningful despite the fact that it had been placed virtually out of sight. In another corner, an unknown technician had left a miniature mop and bucket in deference to the time when such decks would have been swabbed instead of coated with an impact-resistant chemical coating.